beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, welcome to my show, and I am your not-so-humble host, Dr. Vrilok. Yes, tonight's podcast is Haunted R2-D2 and my new guest. You know, the most interesting results in psionics sometimes manifest most eerily from those things we put far less conscious intention into. For instance, despite my greatest of efforts to craft a legion of servitors, which did, by the way, indeed manifest and work rather well, the most incredible coming to life was not in my magical intentions, but through a toy robot, one that I was very fond of in childhood. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you that story, the story of my haunted R2-D2 robot, and then a bit about my upcoming guest here on Planet Vrilok, Psionics and Magic Tech. So without further ado, let us begin. During a 7-year stay abroad, I managed to organize a laboratory and magical temple in the third floor of an industrial office building in a residential suburb. High power projectors were mounted on a variety of armchairs facing the four directions of the compass. Telerod beams were nested in thresholds both within and without the room and in the stairwell. Closets and cabinets housed familiars and servitor docks, pennants, and psionic robots. Shelves stacked on either wall of the chamber held fast a stock of homemade radionics, from standard 3-dial units to machines with 18 dials or more. A purple rug centered on one side of the long room marked my ritual summoning area. Radio and satellite tuners were set in psionic stations with a variety of augmented mind and machine interfacing consoles. Staves and wands of all assortments were gathered into pull-out drawers and racks along the perimeter of the room. I sat in my favorite armchair, admiring the new robot I had purchased merely as a desk companion, a side curiosity, and perhaps to hold my drink. And this is where I rested my favorite psionic helmet and my pendulum and an extensor reaching out from a cabinet hidden in the droid's body. I sat meditating on the surrounding mountains, remote shrines, and places I had been. My mind fell into a quiet place centered in my will as I relaxed in my English gentleman's cushioned chair inside the top floor of a triangle building. Energies from cemeteries and shrines and mountains flowed in and out of my vital breath as I meditated, and a series of wave frequencies passed in and out from my laboratory window, riding upon antennas extended by cables to wall-mounted Galder, or upon eloptic projectors from tubes welded onto digital and standard slide projectors. I began to take notice of some strange qualities regarding my new robot toy. The R2 unit was, well, distinctly staring back at me, or such it seemed. Such was my impression, though I believed at first these impressions to be merely my imagination having fun. There did in some time occur some very odd and, albeit, disturbing activities surrounding this seemingly harmless toy robot, standing only a foot tall. The first of which was the R2 switching itself on and off. There was a hardwired manual on and off switch, and so I realized something more than a digital quirk was the cause here. And the next thing I realized is that when I was in need of something and looked over at my robot toy, then the thing would not long afterward be either manifested or people would be so enchanted as to aid my efforts in achieving a goal. Many moons passed before the connection to this robot became rather indistinguishable from imagination and perhaps a bit irritating. I would awaken to a sound and find that my mind's eye was wide open to a frequency, which manifested in my third eye visually as a blue hue of light. And within this light, I beheld the room upstairs where in my mind's eye, I could clearly make out the R2 droid, alone in the dark, scanning the room with its flashlight motion detector mode mysteriously activated. I heard the robot's alarm sound off just then, and so I made my way up the stairwell to the laboratory door and thrust it open, prepared to encounter some monstrosity made of shadow or even one of the overly large, intrusive centipedes common in the more rural and suburban areas. What I saw was R2 beaming me in the doorway with its flashlight and sounding its alarm. I switched him off and searched the room for any sign of an entry, or perhaps a window left open by careless forgetfulness. To my astonishment, I discovered no cause for the robot's activation, and again, I switched off the manual switch, double-checking, making sure. In time, I dismantled the unit to see if there were any mechanisms inside which could toggle the physical switch to activate the R2 droid's power supply. But my effort, I discovered, was to no avail. Nothing could have electronically started up the R2 unit. The switch had to be manually moved into position. Well, indeed, I was naturally perplexed, but likewise, I was not shocked entirely by paranormal activity of any kind. Only I had to wonder why this toy would show for itself such spectacular paranormal activity, whereas, in contrast, my various spirit vessels housing my programs of intention displayed rather mild phantasmic activity at the best of moments. It dawned upon me that I had loved R2 from my childhood years, and so therefore something at the level of my subconscious mind must have been hard at work here. But also I had a habit of placing my psionic amplifying helmet onto this droid, and for a moment I recalled that old tale about Frosty the Snowman, a Christmas tale of an icy snowman and the magic cat that brought him to life. I, of course, did not believe this story. However, in many years after my experiences with the toy robot, I at last had arrived at a new epiphany. You see, my wool hats I often used magically to soothe the pains for my spouse, for my mother, and some people I know. And what I would do is I'd wear this wool hat, and then taking off my wool hat, and placing the hat over the afflicted area. The effects were nearly instant, soothing and a relief of stress or pain. And I hadn't the foggiest idea as to why this worked, or seemed to work. I had to wonder for a time why this might be the case, that my crown chakra might produce some manner of spiritual healing frequency or energy? I can't be sure. I wonder. I can only remember back to a time in Riyadh, perhaps, while still a boy, sitting on a rock in the desert and having an experience of something wondrous, touching the crown of my head, lifting the veil from my eyes, and there I beheld the spinning sylphs, who muttered and laughed in the voices of children playing in the invisible plane parallel between our worlds. Was there a correlation between this distant past in Riyadh and my robot coming to life in Japan and the miraculous healing wool hat? Perhaps this is one possibility. Yet I believe also the fact that I loved, legitimately, the R2 unit in childhood memory, and that that is a major contributor to this animation of an inanimate object seemingly brought to life for a time, as it were. The moral of this story, you might ask, well, love what you do, love what you work with, and magic will happen for you. Alrighty then. As we move forward with the magical lifestyle following this podcast, look at the world around you and consider from everything I've told you now how you might make the world a better place. Yes, we have the millionaires on their rope ladders looking down, cutting the cord so nobody else can climb up. And then above them, the billionaires are sawing off their cable, cutting the rope ladder so the millionaires can't make it up. And then the trillionaires are looking down at the billionaires and cutting that rope ladder so that the billionaires cannot make it up. Is this the type of world you want to live in? For your kids or your fellow siblings to grow up in? Well, take a little bit of the wisdom and the knowledge from what I've just told you in this story of bringing magic to life with something that you love and apply it to the world. Go ahead and grab yourself a toy globe of the earth. You can find these rubber or plastic globes of the earth in any simple Dollar Tree store. Hold that in your hands and think of what you love so much. And do it in the privacy of your home. Nobody's going to laugh at you because they won't know what you're doing. And then take a look, see what happens out in the world, see if you can manifest any changes by this very simple method. No expensive gadgetry necessary, just you and your magic globe of the earth. Just love what you do and manifest what you love. All right, so stay tuned for December 3rd, or possibly to be released on the 4th, a podcasted interview with my new guest. I am going to be interviewing the Cool Hand Luke of our times, the opposition to the man, a freedom fighter and Marine veteran from the Iraq War, who's been arrested more times than anyone I know for peaceful civil disobedience. The one and only Mr. Adam Kokesh, here on Planet Vorlock, Psionics and Magic Tech Podcast. Alrighty, thank you for joining me tonight on Planet Vorlock, and as always, always, until next time, keep the magic high. This is Tom Vorlock, signing out.